I have this bad habit of going on vacation and coming back with a cold. So, have to bear with me. I have to decide if I need to quit going on vacation or something. I don't know. But it is actually really good to be back here with you today. So last week about this time, Barb and I were celebrating our 20th anniversary, and we were on a ship heading towards the Bahamas. And so you guys feel really bad for us. But as we were preparing for that trip, we do the same thing that I'm assuming all of you do. You decide what you're going to pack in the suitcase, right? Does everybody do that? Now, Bart and I have completely different methods. She has a checklist. She prints out this checklist and goes through. You do that too? All right. But she'll do that, and several days in advance, that suitcase is packed and ready to go. Now, my usual style is I get up that morning and I throw stuff in the suitcase, yes, and I'm ready to go. And there's distinct advantages and disadvantages to those same methods. Occasionally, I'll forget something. Or, like on this trip, I packed a very good phone charger. The only problem was it didn't connect to my phone. So, yeah, and my wife was liking it because I wasn't on my phone for days because there's nothing to connect. So if you guys called me or what have you, plus we didn't have service anyways. I'm one of those guys where it's like, I'm not paying that for that service plan for people to interrupt me on my vacation. But now with her method though, you know, we can get to the Bahamas and she is ready. She is ready for rain, sleet or snow right there in the Bahamas, and she's good. And then when it's all packed, we do one of those things where, like, we weigh the suitcase. You do that. I can't see the numbers. But we do that because I don't want to pay the extra baggage fee. I don't want to do that. And besides that, I'm the one that carries all the luggage, so we got to have it within, you know, certain reasons. So when I've got like five things that I'm carrying around, I don't want to weigh that down. I don't want to pay those fees. Now, here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to think about a relationship you have. It could be a good relationship. It could be a bad relationship. A relationship that needs healing. That would be a good one. But a relationship is like an ongoing journey, right? You're journeying together. You experience new things. You experience good things. You experience bad things. I mean, that's the reality. When before I proposed to Barb, I said, look, bad things are going to happen in my life and your life. Good things are going to happen. We're probably going to bury our parents and this and that. And so the question is, not only are we going to face those, but do we want to face those together or do we want to face those apart? And so that's kind of like a relationship, and sometimes you just face mundane and ordinary things together as you travel. Now, some of you are saying, my relationships are more like a trip than a journey. So if your relationship's a trip, that's okay. We'll go with that. But when you start a relationship, whether it's platonic or romantic, there's something about the other person that attracts you, right? It could be, you know, like wow, that's a really good-looking person. That's, you know, and there's other things. I mean, if that's the extent of your relationship, that might be a little shallow, but there's probably other things, like their personality. That's important, especially if you want that relationship to last. Maybe it's their abilities, their likes, their dislikes, their hobbies, or their values. Does this person share the same values? Like, so I think this is the person I want to enter a relationship in. So in that relationship, well, let me say this. You have other relationships, too. How many of you have relationships, and the reason why you have a relationship is because at some point in time, you occupied the same space as that person. You know, maybe you went to school with them for 4 years, and, you know, my wife says, well, what do you have in common with that person sat next to him in math? Or you work next to that person. Sometimes you have a relationship with somebody because you have the same DNA in you. And that may be the extent of your relationship. Now, with any relationship, you know what comes along with that? Baggage. My baggage, your baggage. We bring that in. And in the course of the relationship, people begin to unpack who they are. And sometimes that unpacking can be uncomfortable. Sometimes that unpacking is shocking, where you get to the place and you go, I think there's more to this deal that I got than what I was expecting. And sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad. But we come into this relationship, and we've got our past hurts. We've got our struggles. We've got our unforgiveness. We've got, you're like, I didn't even know I liked that. I didn't even know he threw his clothes on the floor. And I didn't know she wouldn't pick them up. We've got sin, ongoing sin. We've got all this, and it comes out. And sometimes you feel like, man, I didn't know I was getting all this. And how in the world did you fit all that in there? And so we're in this relationship, we're in life, and we're carrying this around.
Don't you hear that?
You?
No.
It's only 30 pounds. Oh. Yeah.
Three golden balls.
No, nobody wants to carry that, right?
I got enough baggage. Right.
So you just want to, you want to keep your own. I got good news for you. There's something else packed in there. This is a reset button.
That was easy.
Yeah, that was nice. We have a reset button. And my guess, I'm just going to guess that most of you have a relationship that you're saying, I need a reset. I need a reset on that relationship. Now that particular button says easy. And let's just clear the air and make sure we're on the same page. Relationships are not easy, right? Especially not... Okay, somebody better clean this up. Especially not when you're carrying all this around. Yeah. Kenneth, come up here. No, that's not easy. And especially, we're carrying that. How's that going to be easy? Dr. Sherry Keffer, she says this in her book, Intimate Deception. She says, there is a reset button in our brains that is wired to change our minds. What you believe today can be turned around. Zeph talked about some of this last week of resetting. And let me take it in a more spiritual direction here. Because Jesus describes a reset here that I think applies to what we're talking about. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So you're carrying around this ball that you're saying, don't give that to me. And sometimes you say, don't give that to me, but guess what? You get it. You're carrying that. And Jesus says, come to me. And he says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. So that's the easy part, is Jesus' yoke. This is hard. This is hard to carry all this. Jesus says, give me that, and I'll give you my yoke. And my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So Jesus is our reset. No, it's not just a matter of me saying, okay, I'm going to do something in a different direction. I'm going to turn to Jesus. And Jesus is going to be the reset in my life. Jesus is going to be the reset in my relationships. And Jesus gives us an option. He says, hey, you can carry all this garbage. You can carry your junk. You can carry everybody else's junk. You can take that all upon yourself. Or you can give that to me. You give that burden to me, and you can take my yoke. Do you have a relationship? You don't have to raise your hand or anything. If you want to raise your hand, that's fine. But do you have a relationship? We're saying, man, I need that reset. I need to hit that button. I need something different to happen in this relationship. And the question is, are you willing to do your part? Can you do your part? And that doesn't mean that this other person is going to change one bit. Because sometimes they don't. And I've counseled people over the years, and they say, well, this. I say, you know what? I can only help the person sitting in front of me. And actually, you can only control one person. And based on our conversations, you're not doing a great job at that. But that's a reality. I mean, we can't control what's going on, but we can do our part. We can hit that reset button in our own lives and allow God to work in our lives. And we can even pray for, you know, that other person out there and allow God to work in their lives. Because God works in people's lives whether they like it or not. Ephesians. Let's see. So what does it practically look like? What do we need to do other than coming up? Because just hitting this button?
That was easy.
Yeah, that was easy, right? But there's something else that we need to do. The Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 25. And it's going to be up on the screen behind me. And he says this. He says, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body. And do not sin by letting your anger control you. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hand for good works, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be encouraging to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Don't want the sermon to go dry. So throughout this passage, there's this contrast. There's a contrast between things that weigh down and burden our relationship, and there's things that lift up those relationships and build up other people. And he says, stop lying and speak the truth. And I think about that in relationships. How many times do we try to hide who we really are from one another? And there's this thought, if you find out who I really am, if you really know that I struggle and this and that, you're going to reject me. You're not going to love me if you really know who I am. You know, like it's some big surprise that everybody in here struggles with something. Or that we have a past. You know, and so we try to keep that down. And you know, there is a reality. Everybody in here doesn't need to know everything about you. But I think there's also this reality that we need to be truthful with one another. If we want deep relationships, healthy relationships, and especially if you're talking about a spouse or good friends, we got to be open and honest with each other. You know, and we need to encourage one another. Well, and Paul says this. He says, it's kind of strange. He says, go ahead, be angry, but don't sin. He says, when you do that, you give the devil a foothold. Now the Greek word there for that foothold is topos, which if you like in the maps or whatever, that's a geographical location. So how does that work? Well, if I'm angry and I allow that anger to result in sin. And I lash out, and I do whatever, I seek revenge, I do these kinds of things. It's almost like I say to the devil, okay, I'm giving you this place in my life. I'm going to let you set up camp here. Think in military, it's kind of like, I'm going to give you this strategic spot in my life. From here, you can wage war on me and my family. That's essentially what you're doing. When I walk in sin, when I walk in unforgiveness, when I lash out in sin, I'm saying, okay, you can have all of this. Doesn't sound like the brightest thing to do. And you know what we're doing when we do that? We're adding to this. We're adding to this. Now, if you think the airlines and what have you charge a fee for overweight baggage, you're going to pay a heavy fee for this. We pay a heavy fee when we continue to walk in sin and when we add to the baggage. And here's the thing, and I want to be really sensitive to this, because I know many of you, if not all of you, have faced some really bad things. There are horrible things that have happened to people. And we can look and we can say, that's unacceptable. That is a horrible thing. That should have never happened to you. And you know what? You have every right to be angry. You have every right to say, that should not have happened. I am angry that has happened. But Paul says, but don't sin. But don't sin. Don't add to this. And so here's my question. Can you take that anger? Can you take that hurt? That horrible thing that was done to you? And can you say, Jesus, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you my pain. I'm going to give you my hurt. I'm going to give you that ugly thing that happened to me. And Jesus, from you, can you give me your peace? Can you give me your healing? Can you restore me? Can you renew my mind? And Jesus will do that. You have every right to be angry. But Paul says, he says, be angry, but don't sin. In fact, he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, I think he's saying, make short accounts. You know, don't let it pile up where you got this 30-pound ball that nobody wants to carry around. He says, no, that sun's going down. Deal with it as it comes. And he says, don't steal, but work. Work so you can share. And in other words, in these relationships, don't take what's not yours. Or don't give away what's not yours. If I'm unfaithful to Barb, you know what I've done? I've stolen. I've given away what's not mine. Instead, I'm supposed to share. I'm supposed to share my life. I'm supposed to share the things that I have. Verse 29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Here's the thing. I mean, maybe you're that one person in here and you don't have any baggage. Okay? Sometimes what we do is we attack the people and we're attacking them for their baggage instead of encouraging them. How can I help you? How can I come alongside you? You know, because I've got... It's funny, we were on this one of those boats that take you off to the shore, and some people were ready to fight on this one boat. And I'm like, you're in the Bahamas, dude, relax. And I'm like, we're literally on the same boat. We're all in the same boat. And that's what we're all in the same boat. How can we encourage one another? Most people don't want that junk any more than you want that junk. So how do we encourage one another to give up their burdens to the Lord? In verse 30, this one really hits me. It says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Don't bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit by the way you live. It's interesting. I kind of expect him to say, don't bring sorrow to one another by the way you live. But it doesn't say that. It says, don't bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. Which is fascinating, because it's one thing that Josh and I have a problem, and he's upset with me, and I hurt him. But the Bible says when I do that, I'm bringing sorrow to the Holy Spirit. It says that God's looking out going, that's not what I intended here. That's not the relationship that I have for you. And it grieves the heart of God. Now that changes things for me when I look at that and I'm reminded, you know, it's not really about this. There's something else going on. And ultimately, all of this is so much bigger than us. It's about God. I was talking to someone earlier today of you know, like there's problems within a church, and you know what it looks like from the outside? People look at it and they go, that's what God's like? And it grieves God's heart, because God says that's not what I intended for you. That's not what the church is like. So for the one or two of you that have, as I was going through this list, and you discover, man, I've hurt people. I've grieved God's heart. You know, what do I do? Well, I'm glad you asked. Matthew 5:23-24. Look at that.
Your wife.
She packed that.
Amazing.
She has a list. Bring an extra water bottle. Matthew 23-24. It says, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, which I always find that fascinating. Why would somebody suddenly remember right then and there? But maybe it's one of those things you get in the presence of God, and God goes, hey, before we go any further, let me remind you of something. But it says, Jesus says, leave your sacrifice. So put your tithe in that bag. He says, leave your sacrifice at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. And then come offer your sacrifice to God. In other words, worship is like one of the most important things we can do. And God says, before you come into there, do your part. Go be reconciled. And here's the thing. Let me give you like the easiest way, the quickest way to do this. When you find out that, hey, I've wronged somebody, and I've had to do this in what I thought were some awkward situations, just to walk up and humbly say to somebody, hey, yesterday when I said this, I was wrong. Or, you know, when I told you you're the worst umpire I've ever seen, I was wrong. And when you do that, don't make excuses. You know, because you don't want to come up and say, you know, I was wrong for yelling at you yesterday, but you seriously blew that call. And you are the worst umpire, but I probably shouldn't have yelled. I mean, that's not going to go over real well, right? Or don't go to your wife and go, honey, when you were out of control yesterday, you know, I did this. Okay? Doesn't go. Okay? Trust me, it doesn't go over well. And there's times you may need to offer restitution. You know, it's not just I'm sorry, Josh, I stole all your stuff.
That was easy.
Yeah. Josh might want his stuff back. I mean, I may need to say, hey, Josh, I stole all your stuff, and how can I make this up to you? How can I wronged you? How can I make this right? Pick up clothes. All right. And we may need to give them time or space. Because how many of you you take a while to process something? Okay? Yeah. All the women. Wait. Yeah. Because there's times you need to think that through and go, oh, wow, what just happened? So give them that time. You may need to show them that you're sincere. You know, maybe you've done this 50 times. And you've heard this story before. So we may need to show that person that, hey, I am willing to change. And here's the reality. Do they have to forgive you? Or let me ask you this. Are they going to? They might. They may never. But here's the thing. Remember, this is ultimately about you and God. And so sincerely do your part. Love anyways. But lastly, Paul says this. Verse 31, he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. Wouldn't that be a great way to live? If you had no bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, all types of evil behavior. It says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Man, that's a great environment to live in. So let's go through this, make sure we're clear. Let me tell you what forgiveness is not. Because I think sometimes we get that kind of confused. Forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean all ramifications have been removed. Right? I mean, because sometimes, we get in a fight and, you know, Josh cuts me up and I got a scar on here. And Josh says, hey, I'm sorry. Well, I still may have a scar, right? And you still may have a scar, and there still may be ramifications to our sinful actions, even though we're forgiven. Sometimes we reap what we sow. Sometimes God is really gracious with us and gives us a crop failure, and we don't reap what we sow. But sometimes there's ramifications. Forgiveness is not earned, right? It's not a matter of, okay, I'll forgive them when they earn that forgiveness. That's actually not forgiveness. Forgiveness is also not making an excuse. And sometimes people will do that. We'll excuse something. We'll say, they only did that because they had this rough background and what have you. And that may all be true. But that's not really forgiveness. That's kind of excusing the wrong that has been done to you. Here's another thing forgiveness is not. It's not saying what happened to you was okay. And I think people get hung up on that. If I forgive this person, that's the same thing as me saying what you did was okay. And it's not okay. You've been wrong. You've been hurt. You can go to the Word of God and you can go, yeah, that's pretty much a clear violation of God's Word. I was wrong. Forgiveness does not make that event okay. Forgiveness makes you okay. There's a big difference in that. So, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a gift. It is a gift that you have received, and it's a gift that you give. The Greek word for forgiveness that's in this passage here is charismai. And that's made up of two words. You've got charis, which is grace. Omai means to give or to extend. So literally, when you are forgiven, you are literally giving a free gift. You're giving something that the other person doesn't deserve. And I've heard that a ton of times, talking to people, and I say, well, you know, what's your thought about forgiveness? They say, they don't deserve it. Bingo. We're on the same page. If it's a free gift, it's not something you deserve. It's not like a reward. Let me reward you. It's let me give you what you don't deserve. Of course they don't deserve it. That's why it's extending grace. That's why it's a gift. The reality is, I didn't deserve Christ's forgiveness. That's a free gift. And his gift was sacrificial. And that is a reality that we say, okay, this may cost me something to forgive that person. It may cost me my right to get even. But it is a free gift. Now, why is forgiveness possible? It's right there. It's on that cross. Forgiveness is possible because of what Jesus did. And we actually reflect Jesus when we forgive others. Colossians 3:13 says this. Make allowance for each other's faults. Anybody married for more than a week? You got to do this, right? Make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And I, And I think people think, well, if I forgive, they're getting off the hook. This is the answer to Jesus. Right? Every one of us has to answer to Jesus. And I'm reminded that Jesus died not only for my sin, but for the sins that were committed against me. Jesus took my wrong. He took it upon himself. In fact, Jesus was the first one that said, I'm going to hit this reset button. I want to restore that relationship. I'm going to hit the reset button for you. And there's consequences. I don't know. It's interesting because sometimes people think like they're hurting somebody for not forgiving them. Or, yeah, like they're getting even, which would be like me drinking poison and thinking it's going to hurt you. But anyways, let me give you two consequences. There's a lot, but... One, when we don't forgive, we don't accurately represent who we are. We don't represent who we are, and we do not represent who our God is. It's a false representation. It's a bad representation of who we truly are. And the second one, which will have consequences, is we'll live in a prison of unforgiveness. It may cost to forgive, but the cost of not forgiving is greater. Cost of not forgiving is greater. The writer of Hebrews says this, Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. He says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. I don't know if you caught that part about this root of bitterness coming up, and by it many are defiled. And here's what happens. It's not just your prison. It's kind of like a virus. It's going out and it's affecting everybody around you. Years ago I was teaching a conference and the subject I was teaching on was forgiveness. And this man came up to me. And afterwards, you know, sometimes teach and people walk up and they tell me their story or what have you. And this guy came up to me and his first words said, he said, I will never forgive my father for what he did to me. Okay. I'm Don. What's your name? And I said, well, tell me about your relationship with your father today. I mean, what's going on? How is he hurting you today? And he said, my father died years ago. For a dead man, he's got a lot of power and influence in your life. We talked for a little bit, and I was convinced by the time that we were done talking that he did not understand the message of forgiveness. Years later, he showed up in my office, and he wanted some counseling. He and his wife were separated. His kids could barely stand him. He'd become his father. And he was very bitter and critical. And this was a brilliant person. It was like one of those guys where I'm like, this guy is twice as smart as me, and God's asked me to help this guy out. I said, you're a smart guy. Let me ask you a question. I agree with you. With what your father did was wrong. It was terrible. It was horrible. A child should not have gone through that. And, you know, whatever happened in your childhood, let's just put that on the shelf right now. Here's the question I have for you, though. As a grown man, why do you allow your father to continue to hurt you? He's not even alive. Why do you allow your father to hurt you, your wife, and your children? Is the unforgiveness worth that pain? Richard Rohr has a great quote. He says, if the pain of your story is not transformed, it will be transmitted. That was the reality of this guy's life. The pain in his story, it was not transformed, but it was transmitted to others. We don't want to live that way. We don't want to have that root of bitterness So, steps to forgiveness. Let me go through these and then we'll close. And this works, by the way. You don't have to talk to the person to do this. The person could be dead, and they don't even have to come to you and say, "Will you forgive me?" By the way, most people won't. In counseling, a lot of times I'll have people make a list. List the people that you've hurt. List the people that have hurt you. The list that has hurt them is much longer. We tend to remember those a lot better. Jesus said this in Luke 17. He says, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Go ahead. You know, hey, that was wrong." He says, "And if he repents, forgive him." Now, let me ask you a question. When did Christ forgive you? Did Christ forgive you when you said, "Lord, forgive me"? Or did it happen at another time? Colossians 2:13 and 14 says this. "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh," in other words, when you were a complete mess, when you were God's enemy, it says, "He made you alive together with him, having forgiven all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." So here's the thing. God forgave my sin before I confessed it. But I don't experience any of that until I confess it. And so you can go ahead and forgive somebody before they come to you. Now, they don't experience that forgiveness. They may not know that you have forgiven them, you have released them. You're actually doing them a favor when they come to you and they say, "Will you forgive me?" Because then I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't sleep well knowing that I've harmed somebody, I've done something, I want to deal with that, I want to get it off my chest. So how do we do this? Let me tell you what I've taught people for years, especially if there's been something major in your life. I tell them, make four lists. And you see, what I'll do is I'll tell them, take a piece of paper, fold it in half. You can do this at home. Now we're going to put a little forgiveness over here, some happy trees over here. All right, so no happy trees. So you got your quadrant. Everybody can figure that one out. You can fold up paper like that. All right. So in the top corner, you write the offense. What was the offense? What happened? You know, the offense may be, well, that person divorced me. That person left me. That person humiliated me. They, you know, whatever harsh thing they did. The next quadrant, your feelings. How do you feel about that? You're going to list this out. Because here's what we do. We want to cry out to the Lord with this and say, "Man, this is how this made me feel. This was what was going on in my life." Next is ramifications. A lot of times when we forgive, somebody say, "Well, I forgive them for this affair. I forgive them for divorcing me." But then there's ramifications to that. The offense is like, you know, you throw the rock, hits the water, and the ramifications are all those ripples. "Oh, well, now all of a sudden I need to get a second job because of this. The friends that we used to hang around with, this is changing up. This is awkward." You know, whatever the ramifications are of that. And this, don't forget this fourth one's important. My sinful reactions. What did I do? And guess what? When the Lord talks to you, what do you think he's going to want to talk about? You know, my sinful reactions. "All right, yeah, Lord, I went like that Carrie Underwood song. I slashed the tires and, you know, took the baseball bat," or whatever it is. You know, we want to list that. And that might be a thing where you may need to sit and you may need to go to that other person and say, "Look, this is what I've done wrong." So what do you do with that? I want you to take that list and I want you to pray through and say, "Lord, I release so-and-so. I've been holding them guilty. And I'm going to release them to you. Do whatever you want with them." He doesn't need suggestions, by the way. But I'm releasing. I'm giving them to you. I'm releasing them of the offense. Here's how I felt. Here's the ramifications of that. Here's where I stand. And just say, God, I'm giving all this to you. I'm taking this garbage, all this that's been weighing me down, I'm giving it to you. And I want to take your yoke. Because your burden is light. Your burden is easy. Now, here's what you need to do with the list. Tear it up. Throw it away. This isn't something for you to cherish and to remind yourself. The only reason why I say make a list is because sometimes we need to just process all that out. We need to put it out there. I mean, the Bible tells us, here's what Jesus did with our list. It says he canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of the decrees against us. Tear that up, throw it away. And here's the thing. Don't go to that person and say, hey, Josh, I forgive you. Or, like today, like if your parents are still living, don't make a phone call and say, hey, the pastor was talking about forgiveness today, and I've decided to forgive you for all the bad things you did when I was growing up. Because probably what's going to happen is going to be, you forgive me? Let me give you a list of some things that we need to go through. And this is why you can this is why with that man I can say you can do this with your father who's deceased. Or you can continue to carry that. Now it'd be different where if Josh came to me and said, hey, I need to seek your forgiveness. Now the cool thing would be if I've already done this. And I don't say, well, I already did that, Josh. Josh comes to me and says, hey, will you forgive me? I say, I'd be glad to. I'm glad we had this conversation. I'm glad we were able to take care of this. Here's what the Bible says. Romans 12:18. It says, if it is possible, sometimes it's not. Sometimes people don't want to reconcile. But if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, he says, live at peace with everyone. Do your part to reconcile. Now, worship team's going to come up here in a minute. But when they come up, I want to give you an opportunity. If there's a relationship in your life where you're saying, okay, I need to do my part. Or maybe you've done your part and you're waiting for that other side. Or you know, your job right now is to continue to pray for that person. If that's you at all, and there's a relationship where you're saying, Lord, I need to reset. Maybe you need to reset with him. Maybe you've never come to the place where you've received his forgiveness. I'm going to invite you, and you can literally come out of your seat. You can hit that button. And so I want to invite you to do that as we go back to worship. Let me pray, and then we'll have the worship team come up. Lord God, we're so thankful that you forgave our sin. You took our sin upon you on the cross. You made it possible for us to have a right relationship with you. And Father, I know that there are several here, many of us, that we have relationships that we need to reset, Lord. We want you to work in our lives, restore us, renew us, guide us as we may need to seek forgiveness. Guide us, Lord, as we need to forgive others. Continue, guys, for others that we just need to pray for and hope that they would see the need for healing and for reconciliation. Father, I pray today that you would give us a reset. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. As I said, feel free to come up.